Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. The Atalanta dream is over and Mesut Ozil speaks out. It's Thursday the 13th of August. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Not yet, Pete.
Yeah, what are you doing, Pete? Not even a second. The beef has begun already.
There's a list of presenters, and then there's an intro line. I'm not the presenter, so I'm not reading the intro, but I should be, because that's very much part of what we're all doing here. Mm. Jim, I'm sorry. Let's be friends again.
You don't mean that. no, so all is forgiven. Mm. I'm a little bit disappointed that you've not gone for the sort of one-up, one-down moustache
option. No, it's completely well not in this heat, to be honest. It's fair. Just not good. It's just not good enough, quite frankly. I'm sort of living a little bit out of London at the moment, and it is very steamy. Very steamy indeed.
How did that T-shirt you're wearing, which has a dog on your chest, get received on your way into work today?
Space dog.
Yeah, it's the dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a dog in an astronaut.
Meme dog. People look at me and I go, maybe people just look at me. They're looking at my stupid T-shirt.
I remember
the model David Gandy saying, abusing men who wear like stupid stuff on their T-shirt. She's going, just buy a white T-shirt. What are you trying to prove? You think a girl's going to, want to be with you if you've got something stupid on your T-shirt? I mean, I've proved that that's definitely correct, but
I mean,
everyone looks like David
Gandy.
Exactly.
I think life's a lot easier for David Gandy. Yeah, he looks after himself and he snorts Wellman every day or whatever it is he claims to do in those adverts. But yeah, of course people react differently to you if you're just wearing a white T-shirt, David Gandy. Give the rest of us a chance. Let us wear what we want.
You're David Gandy. You look like a big inverted pyramid.
Stop
you're
being
a big
so
triangle.
Aggressive. It's unbecoming of the rhyme.
Life's unfair.
Life is unfair.
Yeah.
That we're not David Gandy.
life is very unfair for Atalanta as well.
Oh. I hate
Why
this.
Why is football so shite?
Here is going to be probably about 10 minutes of Jim and Pete trying their best not to be too horrible about PSG, or are you going to just unleash?
I'm going to try not to swear that much, but that's it.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, wasn't it?
It is heartbreaking. Like, it's one of those things as well where who roots for PSG? Do you know what I mean? Who other than the supporters of their club, you know, even some of them are probably a little bit, you know, off put by the way they've destroyed their league. They're like the Japanese knotweed of French football. But who can honestly get on their side? Because PSG winning in a game like this, or in any game really, it's like rooting for the bad guys in a movie, isn't it? Like, it's just like...
It is, and not even like an anti-hero. It's not like anything like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos. Yeah. It's just awful.
The
awful.
Corporation wins.
It's a creeping grey goo of awfulness.
But I think what made it more so was the way it was done as well. Being a late double, Atalanta leading from... Yeah. They scored in the 26th minute, and it looked as though they were going to hold on and they were going to get through to the semi-finals as the underdogs in the competition. It's kind of keeping that dream alive. Everyone kind of wanted to see Atalanta go through, didn't they? But... to be fair to PSG, they had the quality in the end and they managed to get a win. And scoring two late goals the way they did for them, I mean, you saw the celebrations from everyone in their team, even up in the stands and stuff. And they were absolutely exhilarated. Yeah.
They'll get
and
those semi-final bonuses.
Well, Mbappe looking at the officials as the first went in. I just thought as soon as that went in, I thought they're going to lose this. It's not even going to go to extra time because, you know, obviously Atalanta were just walking wounded. But I just love this Atalanta team. They just play such a high line, almost like absolute dam buster stuff. Just go for it. Absolutely go for it. We're going to press and you're just going to have to play through us. And PSG nearly didn't manage to do it. And it was just, by the end, they were walking wounded. They would have played extra time with 10 men. It was tragic to see. For Gasperini.
Yeah, they would have lost in extra time, I think. Yeah. So in a way, it sort of delayed the inevitable. But I feel like Atalanta got their tactics a little bit wrong in the second half because the press was, the famous press was fairly evident in the first half, but PSG looked very rusty, understandably, given they've only played two games in however many months it is.
They weren't very direct as well, though, I think. They concentrated on, like, you know, doing a lot of like work out on the wings. And as soon as Mbappe came on, just he gave him a lot more direction, a lot more directness, rather. And obviously, he was involved in the first goal.
But I think in the second half, they did sit back a little bit and they tried to sort of protect what they had. And I think if they worked a bit harder in... Not worked harder, but if they tried a bit harder to score a second goal and had that on their agenda a bit more, clearly they were going to need it because Mbappe was always going to come on. And Mbappe and Neymar, when they're on the ball, they almost look like members of a different species, don't they? They are just so, there's such speed, skill and grace as well in the way those two players like hold the ball and move. And that was always going to be a big ask. And I feel like Atalanta maybe backed themselves a little bit more to score again.
Yeah.
It might have been different because PSG they weren't really on the ropes in the first half as such, but Atalanta looked the better side. And I don't know, maybe because Neymar had a couple of chances on the break, they thought,
he was a real pot shot Pete at times, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
He really wanted those goals.
It is a real sucker punch, though, to concede just even the equaliser that late on in the game when they probably thought they were holding on and they were going to get through in the 90 minutes, Atalanta. So you can imagine in terms of confidence and the nerves that the Atalanta players must have been feeling even at 1-1. And so you can kind of understand why PSG did kind of manage to go on and win the game. But when you look at their squad, they have so many stars and it's an unlikely hero, Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, who came on and obviously scores the goal for it. I mean, it's ridiculous when you tell this story. He was at Stoke a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I remember him being in my fantasy team a few years ago and he was rubbish then and I ended up taking him out. I was like, this is crap.
That's why you got rid.
Yeah, but his move to PSG was quite an interesting one at the time as well. He moved there in 2018, so he's been there a couple of seasons now. It's an unlikely hero for PSG, I think.
Yeah, well, I just like this quote. He said, I was confident in the team, in myself, and the rest. There's a little history of Paris. Lovely little phrase. Very nice.
Unusually as well, have a listen to this. Richard Jolly on Twitter tweeted saying, if Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting plays in the semi-finals, the Stoke City squad of 2017-18 had players who will have featured in 11 of the last 15 Champions League semi-finals.
I mean,
incredible.
Who checks up on that?
I know.
Really?
But to be fair, I haven't stat-checked that, so it could be a lie.
Yeah.
But a lot of people retweeted it, so I assume it's true.
You think some of those would be Bojan and Jerdan Shaqiri would be the obvious ones, but it can't just be them. That is an amazing stat.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another great quote from last night was Jules Breach saying, I'm not staying awake for extra time. 10 to 10, angry.
Yeah.
You know
angry
what?
At the footballing gods.
Actually, around the same time, I was taking some notes for just like get my thoughts in order about it to you know think about today. And I've
got
one
here. Street drug.
Yeah, I've got
the kids are doing in Islington.
Yeah, it's like spice but worse. So in my notes, I think I've calmed down a little bit now. But my notes say this is word for word. I hate PSG. They're the worst club in the world. None of their titles mean anything, and I don't respect any PSG player.
Was this just you writing your thoughts last night?
Just ranting. Just I need to get this out.
Get out.
I think I'll stand by it.
I had a weekend in Lille a few weekends ago, and there was a guy in a PSG shirt with Mbappe on the back. I thought, ugh.
You little boy.
You're a grown man with that on your top.
We have a list. Thank you, producer Charlie, who has given me this list of the Stoke players. Here we go. 2005, Johnson. 2007, Crouch. 2008, Fletcher. And 2009, Fletcher. Bojan, as you said, Jim, in 2010. Fletcher again in 2011. 2013, Shaqiri, as you said. Hesse in 2015 and 16. And then Shaqiri again in 2019. And Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting 2020, wow. If he plays in the next game.
I've forgotten about Hesse. But like wow. That's it's less impressive than you'd think, isn't it, actually?
Yeah. You saw guys, quite easy to get where they got, isn't it?
Apparently
in the competition,
so.
It seems.
Oh, there we go.
But that is Tuchel keeping his job. He's not getting the boot, even though he's wearing one.
Yeah.
Great.
How skinny did his other ankle look in comparison to the one with the boot on?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the black sock made it look really slim. But it was very skinny.
He's going to have a Rafa Nadal situation if he's not careful. Have you seen Rafa Nadal's big left arm?
No, I haven't.
Google it. Everyone at home, Google it. I'm obsessed with it. It's because Rafa Nadal is not left-handed. He taught himself to play left-handed because it's harder for opposition players generally to return those.
Oh, really?
Those serves.
Right.
So his left arm is absolutely massive.
Disgusting.
His right arm is normal. It's like, he's like the Winter Soldier. I love it. It's brilliant.
That's amazing. Last night's game, there was such a frantic end to it, wasn't it? It was actually really exciting, despite the fact that, as you say, probably 95% of the population didn't want PSG to win it.
Mm.
It was so exciting. And I think that was down to the fact this was a knockout game. I don't know if you'd have seen that late flurry from PSG necessarily to try and desperately win that game.
Yeah.
Had it not been a knockout tie.
You wouldn't have seen Mbappe, would you?
No.
You wouldn't have risked his health, so to speak.
No.
But they needed him.
Yeah, I mean, I do like it like this because it did make the end more interesting. It made the tie more frantic. But I think two-legged football is interesting in a different way. And you maybe have to be a bit more patient over time. And often it does mean that the teams you would expect to win do go through, but they go through on merit. So, yeah, I'm enjoying this being a one-off little tournament where it's just one game. But I like away goals. I think I might be quite anachronistic in that, but I do like away goals.
But the last time, like the last few years of the Champions League, the matches in the second legs have been like this. They have had great endings. So I don't think it has anything to do with it being a second leg. I think just this time in the competition, people want to cement their legacies. People want to sort of say, I've played in a semi-final, I've played in a final of a Champions League. If to dare to dream to win the whole thing, maybe. I don't know.
I love this stage of the Champions League, regardless of whether it's two-legged or whether it is a knockout tie. But I do think that this tournament feel, with them all in the same kind of bubble out there in Portugal and the matches are played every single day, the fact we've got, you know, 4 days in a row now of knockout ties with the biggest and best teams in Europe, that is really exciting. And because they're knockouts, I do think you see teams go for it a bit more from the off.
It's weird in the city in Portugal not seeing any like adverts for it sort of thing, because obviously they don't want people traveling, they don't want people going. I think a couple of people kind of were at the airport waiting for people to land and stuff, like celebrity footballers. But there's just if you go to the cities in Portugal, like no one's talking about it. There's no massive banners like you would see in a normal kind of
tournament
competition, which is weird, really weird.
That is quite unusual.
The lack of commercialisation of it is an interesting one.
The ghost Champions League.
It is, yeah.
I mean, for PSG, does that really, you know, does it mean anything if they win the one that's not bloated and commercial and all about money?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you now rooting for them to win this one then, Jim?
Oh, God, no. No, I'm rooting for them to somehow go out of business. Like,
that's
I'm
never going to happen.
I'm so bored of them.
Neymar? Talk about Neymar, Jim.
Talk about Neymar.
Say nice things. Okay, well, I think he got a lot of stick in the first half, didn't he? Because he missed he missed a couple of chances that you would normally expect him to bury. But they haven't played, have they? They've played two games in a matter of months, however long it was, as we said earlier. And so it's not unreasonable that it would take him a little bit of time to get up to speed. But when PSG did start to turn the screw, he was instrumental to it. So he's a brilliant player. He's a fantastic player. And I just think, you know, it's a shame he and Mbappe, I know it's a bit different for Mbappe because he's from Paris, but I think it's a shame that both of them are there in a league that they win so comfortably every year. It feels like it's a waste of a couple of truly, truly elite players who could be writing more interesting history elsewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, what is the destiny for Neymar, really? Going back to Barcelona and rejoining his WhatsApp friends? I mean, what is that, really? I did enjoy Richarlison asking Everton fans to Photoshop him into some Everton kit. He didn't look great, to be honest.
No.
did not suit it.
Jim, congratulations on being nice about Neymar there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's move on, because we do have a new Champions League team for next season. Mm. I'm going to say this in my best French accent.
Roll it.
Andy Brassel would be proud. Rennes are a new Champions League team for next season. Now, they finished third in Ligue 1 on points per game after its cancellation. But when Sevilla beat Wolves on Tuesday in the Europa League quarterfinals, it opened up the Champions League group stage spot, which is normally reserved for the Europa League winner. But because the last four teams in the Europa League, Manchester United, Sevilla, Inter Milan and Shakhtar Donetsk, all already have a Champions League spot, by default, it goes to the third place team in Ligue 1. So
it's
now,
like Oprah, everyone gets one. You get a Champions League spot. You get a Champions League spot. You've already got one.
But this is amazing for Rennes.
It is. It's incredible. Wow. Why is it like that? It's like they've fallen upwards through a trap door.
Yeah, you know,
it's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, like, it's what a confusing system. I guess it's, you know, you got to... It must be like that for a reason. I'm struggling to get my head around it. But
yeah.
that is... I mean, they've been crossing their fingers all summer for that, and then for it to happen.
Oh,
they
yeah.
certainly celebrated it, though.
Yeah,
didn't they?
They had a big celebration. Apparently, they woke up the entire town. So they had a celebration at Razon Park, I think that's how you pronounce it. And their DJ basically played the Champions League music on loop until about 3:30 in the morning.
Half three in the morning is a bit excessive. And the director of Rennes, Nicolas Holweg, he said that there was a small event with management and players.
Like, nice.
Bullshit. That was you, centre circle, tin bath full of money.
Yeah.
Dancing around.
You've had a house party, or you've had a gathering that's turned into a house party. You've forgotten how late it's gone on, and the neighbours are all annoyed with you. We've all been there.
You're flicking through the Argos catalogue, in the centre circle, playing the Champions League music, going, massive financial windfall. This is going to be brilliant.
Let's try and get Neymar. And also, I'm interested by the term DJ. Do they have an in-house DJ that was invited, or just does someone
Zoomed
just
in.
Gone, I'll
Zoomed
get on
in,
the
mate.
Decks?
Zoomed in.
It's probably David Guetta. He gets every job, doesn't he?
Are you annoyed every about David Guetta knowing. Getting work?
No, not really, but he just seems to be everywhere, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's the first time, though, in their history that they've qualified for the Champions League. So, fair play. Have a celebration.
See
I
you in the Europa. Dumped
so,
out.
Congratulations to them. That's going to be really interesting to see them compete in the Champions League next season. Now, something else we spotted on Twitter, which is my favourite thing that I think I've seen in the last month, is Paul Dummett, of all people... offering out some dating advice.
Yeah, as long as you're not offering anyone out. Knock you right out. I genuinely thought when this came out, I went, what's Paul Dummett doing? Is he managing Gates? No, he's still a Newcastle player.
Why is
Paul Dummett trending? Oh God, what's he done? But no, yeah, he a child, it seems, had put his profile picture on a dating app hit with him meeting Paul Dummett.
Yeah.
A girl that he was chatting to thought that the person in the picture was Paul Dummett rather than the younger child, or just the young child. And she was kind of like having a nice chat with who she thought was a man who resembled Paul Dummett.
Absolutely
notable
brilliant.
Spunk Paul Dummett. Absolute handsome knockout, tall drink of water Paul Dummett.
Like she's like, she then basically replied to this boy, if you haven't seen it, have a look on Twitter, it's brilliant. She replied saying, oh, sorry, babes, I thought you were the other one.
The other one.
But like, He's not even fit.
Still remember got Paul Dummett, who's in your fantasy league team this year.
He was
but to be fair to the other guys, Pete says he is a child. and Paul Dummett has bleach blonde hair and, you know, slightly dark facial hair he's growing out. I say, are you setting I'm trends in the North East, Pete?
Yeah.
He's clearly not been growing that out for as long as you have.
No, he can't manage the moustache.
Imagine her disappointment, though, when she realised he was the other one. She must have been absolutely
gutted. Because of the little cardboard cutout of Paul Dummett.
But can I just say, that is really poor from him. Because why would you put a photo from the guy trying to go on the date? Why would you put a photo on of you and someone much better looking than you as your picture on a dating website? Because clearly they're going to think, like, she's not going to know that he plays for Newcastle, probably, is she? Unless she's a Newcastle fan.
Who would you put, like, have you got, like, a picture with someone who, like, I certainly have, like, several magnitudes more handsome than me and tall and beautiful.
I've got loads of those.
Exactly. So, like, unless you're just having, like, I think solo shots are a bit weird. I don't take a lot of selfies, so, like, having shots of myself is kind of a little bit rare. I'm sure people will kind of go, oh, Peter, this is a big fat lie, is one. But like, I don't take a lot of pictures of myself. So having a picture by myself is a bit odd for me. So
all right,
I think
here we go then. If you were setting yourself up...
John Cena.
If you were setting yourself up
Cena.
On...
hang out with John Cena.
On Tinder now, what would your profile picture be if you had to take a picture?
It would be... Joel Linton, he's a handsome bloke, tall.
You with Joel Linton?
So, hang on, someone more handsome than you?
Yeah, well,
why?
You just want to be part of the conversation. Get in the door. Get in the door for the look. I can do everything with charisma. I've got enough charisma to do the rest, so to speak. But this has gone terribly. Why am I speaking, Jim? Jim, I know we're enemies, but help me.
All right, I'm going to throw you
throw
a
life raft.
I feel like it speaks very highly of you that clearly you don't actually want to be involved in this scenario because it's all a bit dark. It's very, very much the point of dating apps is that you can be honest about what you look like if you want to.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you don't have to set up anything with a trick.
Right.
I'm trying to help. It's not going well. Right. Jules?
Well, I don't know.
Jim, what would your picture be?
Yeah.
Would you go solo?
Of course. Yeah. I don't want like Joe Linton tricking everybody.
I'd be dressed as Optimus Prime from the Transformers.
What?
Yeah.
I can drive you home. I can drive you home. I'm also a lorry.
So you want to pretend you are a Transformer.
Yes.
It's a very niche type of woman.
She's going to be bitterly disappointed, Pete, when she turns up and you
and I'm not a Transformer.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I can't even drive, Jules. It's terrible.
Yeah. So you'd go solo, Jim. No better looking man in the picture.
Of course not. It seems like you're very much hamstringing yourself there, aren't you?
Like, so you just said get loads of trolls.
Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, God.
So
is that why you always insist on pictures with me, Jim?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's exactly right. So in a situation where the best picture I have of me is me hanging out with, let's say, David Gandy.
Right.
I am, best case scenario, blurring his face.
Surely you're better off posting a picture with someone really unattractive.
Yeah.
So that the person viewing the picture goes, oh, God, you're really good looking compared to
I don't know,
them.
Though, but that might make them think, oh, that guy's quite attractive, but that guy's not attractive. Is this guy the world's most handsome gargoyle? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I view myself, if I'm completely honest. I have a weird body image.
Not a great relationship start with a trick. Let's make that very clear.
Well, you're the one who wants Joe Linton.
What? I just want to hang out with Joe Linton. He's a fine figure of a man. He's terrible on the football field. What else has he got going for him?
Oh, dating advice from the Football Ramble. Yeah. Who knew?
God,
who knew?
It's taken a turn, isn't it?
Let's take a break after this. We're going to talk about Mesut Ozil, his first interview since the Arsenal pay cut situation. We'll talk about that after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble this Thursday. We're going to talk about Mesut Ozil's interview in The Athletic very shortly, but first it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good on many topics today.
Thank you, Daniel.
Farker. Farker. That's Route 1 stuff, innit?
Yeah.
With that beautiful voice.
David Guetta. Did the beat.
I bet he would do well on the dating apps.
Oh, Farker. Fucking hell.
All right, it's time for the topics. We're asking you this week, well, we've been asking you all week, really, what features would you introduce to your own summer football tournament? Loads of you been in touch. Pete, what you got?
Socratic method on Twitter. Instead of a pundit box, it's a swim-up pool bar, tiki style. Not a bamboo. We have Big Sam and Sunes in Hawaiian style at Trunks with the post-game, gloriously shirtless, and 3-4 Mai Tais deep. You know Peter Reid had float up at some point and go.
Just, with his red wine. Loving it.
Lovely old job.
I mean, Jules, you'd have done pitchside reporting. How practical do you feel that is?
Not very, but it would probably make it a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
And a lot more interesting to have them boozed up, I
definitely
reckon.
Soonest going off on one about certain footballers.
I think there'd be there'd be a lot of cancellations in that situation.
Do you know what? It would actually work quite well at the moment because of the COVID restrictions. Mm. We do the interviews pitch side with the players and the managers. Whereas before, obviously, it's in the tunnel. So it's a bit. Whereas right now, I think a little bar pitch side with a little swim up.
Nice.
That'd be banging.
I'd have that.
I'd take that.
I'd be into it. Yeah,
and also, it's bloody hot out in Germany and in Lisbon at the moment for these knockout ties. Mm. So I think that would be perfect.
I do feel, though, if you've got like Souness and Allardyce boozing throughout the game, just sat in the little pool in their trunks, if you have a player fall in, if they've had enough to drink, they're immediately going to think, this is a bar fight. Go into bar fight mode. Stop beating them. Throw them out. It's dangerous.
If you like pina coladas and looking at Big Sam's face.
The weird thing, I don't know if I want to picture Big Sam and Sunes without their tops on.
Oh, Sunes will still be a fine figure among Jules. A ripped, great bit of body hair. Yeah, definitely.
I already told you I don't like body hair.
Say again.
Remember?
Famously not a fan of a rug.
Jim, what else has people been saying?
So Craig Banks on Twitter has said a randomised 10-minute period where a goal scored counts as two goals. Imagine the anticipation for the 10 minutes of mayhem. I quite like that.
Oh.
I do remember when, before MLS was founded, I remember reading an article in, I think, 442 about ideas that were considered in the past to make football closer to American sport.
Guns.
Which obviously was a very short-lived idea. I think guns were rejected quite early. But one of them was scoring zones, where like if you scored from outside the box, it counted as
scoring.
Oh,
nice.
I think I do quite like this. I would like to see an alternative universe version of football where this sort of thing happened. And goals counting for doubling in a 10-minute period is very much up that street.
Mm. That kind of works, actually.
That'd be nice.
Scoring from certain areas of the pitch. Mm. Having little zones. I like that.
The Rabona bonus. Yeah. You do like something awesome.
But I mean, Craig's idea is slightly different from that, isn't it? So the thing with that is, it's like, you know, if you're not really moving the goalposts, are you? Because if a team scores in that 10 minutes and they've got two goals, then if you score, you've also got two goals. Mm. So it's like the jeopardy doesn't really move until sort of the clock runs down, I suppose. Yeah. And then you've just got a mountain to climb. So yeah.
You could literally move the goalposts as well. That's
another
idea.
That's a good one.
That'd be a good idea.
Oh, yeah. They just like motorize. They
just
like,
go back
run
and forth
about.
Like Pong.
What about net taking goals away for like things that you shouldn't do in a game, like giving away a penalty?
Or spitting.
Yeah. Taking away, like, but not a full goal, a half a goal.
You can win by half
you
a goal.
You can win by a half.
A percentage point. I'm having it.
That would get ridiculous, wouldn't it? Sean Siegel on Instagram has been in touch and says, what about dunk tanks? Every time a goal is scored, the opposition manager is dunked into a water tank. This is quite similar to Socratic Methods thing with a swim up pool bar in a way. The opposition manager is dunked in a water tank like a carnival clown. Give me Antonio Conte dropping into a vat of cold water after conceding in the Europa League. We all need this in our lives.
It wouldn't be cold. That's a problem. It'd be like a boiling pot.
Yeah.
It's
going to get eaten.
It's quite appealing, actually, now, isn't it? Being dunked into a vat of water. It says vat. I associate vats with acid when there's a dunking involved.
Yes, yeah, you're right, yeah.
But like a pool of water. I'd be quite into it. But then, you know, I think that would add a layer of jeopardy. Would it make the games really cagey, though? You don't want the boss to shout at you because they've been humiliated on TV, so you just really don't want to concede.
I think that they should have them on a platform raised up and have, like, a solo camera just fixated on their face, the anticipation of whether or not they're going to get dunked. And when it goes to a VAR decision, there's just, like, an extreme close-up on their face as they wait for that decision to be made and whether or not they're going to get dunked or not.
Yeah. They could be suspended, like Boris on the zipline, just kind of just hanging there all... Old match. I'm waiting their fit.
You talk about it, the water getting really hot. Mm. We could make it an ice bath.
Ice bath, yeah. Hand sanitizer, that's always good. Just anything, really, I suppose.
What, dunk them in hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
That would sting the eyeballs.
It would sting the everything.
Goggles. They wear goggles throughout the game, just in case.
Yeah.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
These things would all improve it. Thanks for all your suggestions, guys.
I watched the film Invisible Man quite recently, and I'm not going to spoil it, but a man does go invisible at one point. And he does it in quite a technologically advanced way because it's a modern film. It's very good. I recommend it. 10 out of 10. But the keeper wears an invisible suit. And so you don't know where he is. You just don't know where he is. Little bit of peril. I'm having it.
Mm.
Technologically difficult, but
yeah, I was thinking another one would be for night games. If it goes to extra time, the lights go off from the stadium, but there's an automated spotlight that follows the ball.
Yes, I like that a lot. Very, very fun.
With the invisible keeper, Pete, that would be extremely exciting for penalties.
It would be. You would never know. And to be honest, VAR and the footballing authorities have proved that they don't really care whether the keeper's off the line.
Yeah.
So. He could just be standing right in front of the penalty taker. Yeah. That ball didn't even bloody move. He pulled it away like Lisa from Charlie Brown.
Oh, well, we've loved having all your suggestions this week. We're going to have a new topic tomorrow. So send your suggestions once we release the new topic to show@footballrambledaily.com. Or, of course, you can tweet us using the hashtag #RambleTopics. We'll have a new topic for you tomorrow. All right, some news that came out today. Mesut Ozil has spoken out, boys. He's spoken out for the first time since all of the Arsenal pay cuts back in April. He did an exclusive interview with David Ornstein in The Athletic today. There's a few things come out of this interview. Let's start with the fact that he says he is staying at Arsenal until the end of his contract next summer. There's been so much speculation about what's going on with him. Will he stay? Will he leave? He hasn't played a single minute since the restart of football in all competitions for Arsenal. And this was his statement. He said, I'm here through to the last day of our agreement and I'll give everything I have for this club. Situations like these will never break me. They only make me stronger. I showed in the past that I can come back into the team and I will show it again. I decide when I go, not other people.
Spicy, isn't it? It's very, very spicy. And it's very frustrating because I think, you know, the thing that needs to be taken into account with this is that Mesut Ozil didn't give himself that contract, did he? If someone offered me $350,000 a week, I'd be like, yes, please.
Well, look at what Juventus are trying to do with Ronaldo. They don't want him. They don't. It's too expensive. The project hasn't worked necessarily. They haven't got to the Champions League final. They haven't won it. So they need to offload. So these decisions have been made at a boardroom level. So there has to be some kind of... somebody has to take the fall for it.
Well, this is it. And I think, you know, he can wang on about how much he loves Arsenal and how much he's ready to play as much as he wants, but the people assessing his form and fitness regularly have different people as well have repeatedly concluded that he's not up to the standard. And maybe there is some sort of politics behind that, and perhaps there's even some sort of performance related bonuses he gets that they're trying to keep down given how big his contract is anyway. But I mean, if he really, really means the things he's saying, he's got to put his ridiculous money where his mouth is and get up to the standard that Arteta wants from him. It's all well and good him saying, you know, I'll do anything, I'm ready to fight, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you fall short of that standard, mate, it doesn't matter. Clearly your best isn't good enough, is it? And that seems to be the case at the moment. And at this point, his wage is harming the club's attempts to rebuild, which is a really important time that, you know, Arsenal have said themselves, they're a club in the Europa League, in a lot of cases paying Champions League money. And in a weird way, you sort of have to do that as a little bit of a gamble to have the players you need to try and get back into the Champions League. Arsenal probably are short of that at the moment. Getting him off the wage bill will really, really help. And it's frustrating at the moment. You feel like you want to say, well, sod him, put him in the reserves, or just like ostracise him for a year if he's going to be, you know, aggressive like that. But the reality is, you know, they've got to be adults about it. They've potentially got a useful player there. They've got to find a way to at least get some value on the pitch out of him. And it's just it's just the same thing that's been going on for years. And it's a really frustrating kind of continuation of this saga.
Do you think that with obviously the wage cut that everybody took, and obviously he didn't partake in that, and that was seen as being a bit of a PR own goal for him. I think there's a massive lack of trust between him and the club, and I think it kind of probably stems from not only stuff on the pitch, but his defense of the Uyghur Muslims in China a little while ago, and obviously Arsenal kind of massively
threw him under the bus, hung him out to dry,
all that stuff, really poorly treated in that, and I think he makes some very good points about, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and the George Floyd humanitarian cause. Why are Chinese Muslims, why are Uyghur Muslims different in that particular situation? Why are Arsenal not doing that for him and his people? Well, and his appeal wasn't just to Arsenal, it was to the Arab states and the Muslim countries who haven't spoken out, because China has such a financial sway in the world in 2020. But I think fundamentally it's just a massive lack of respect on both sides now from the club and from him. But I think he was proved to be right on the whole wage cut thing, because they didn't retain many of their staff.
Yeah, that's what it was sold to Arsenal as, to the Arsenal players, as if they took the wage cut, it meant that the non-playing staff would be able to stay on. And then Arsenal cut 55 members of staff, and it's very, very frustrating thing that still happened. So, I mean, yeah, you could argue that he was sort of proved right on it. But and he also makes the point as well that, and this is true of a lot of footballers, and people forget this, even if they're on crazy, crazy money, they do provide for their entire families, and they provide nice lives for their entire families. And that is a luxury and it is a privilege. And I do think that has to be taken into account when things like wage cuts are put forward. But at the same time, he was, it would seem, the only one who didn't do it, and he earns the most money. So you've got to wonder.
Listen to what he says in this interview. He said, regarding the pay cuts that he rejected, he felt that they were rushed and they were done without proper consultation. He says that he didn't feel the details were there on where the money would go, exactly where that money would go. He said he was concerned about looking after his family here and in Germany and Turkey, as well as other charitable work that he does. And this is, I think, the really interesting quote. He said, as far as I'm aware, I was not the only player who rejected the cut in the end. And there hasn't been a lot about that, because as far as most of us are aware, I think it was only Ozil that publicly said he didn't take that. Yeah, that wage cut.
The owner of Arsenal is worth $10 billion.
$8 billion. Well, but yeah.
Just he told me 10.
Yeah. But still.
Liar, standing next to Paul Dummett, the big liar.
Yeah, it ends in billion. So I'm very much splitting hairs there. But yeah, I wonder if that means that he was the only one, wasn't initially the only one who spoke about it, or who knows? There's so much kind of cloak and dagger, smoke and mirror stuff between Arsenal and Ozil in the way they speak about each other.
To be honest, if you're politically minded, obviously he's got some pretty dreadful friends. His best man at his wedding was pretty problematic.
He's also good friends with Squadron Mustafi.
But he is obviously incredibly, you know, coming from the places that he came from and his ethnicity. He's obviously incredibly politically activated, and he does do some great work for his charities. And so I will happily stand by a play like that and sort of go, look, if he feels like his club her just rushing this through as like a PR move and then doing what they actually did in the end, I think I would back him. But he is sort of he's seen as being this kind of political football who, all right, he's not producing off the field but then is that not he's a political story as well? He's still there.
I think something that should be commended is, as you say, Pete, the fact that he isn't a sheep. He's not just going to go along and do things just because
he's not a hashtag. He thinks about it.
Yeah,
he's a thoughtful.
He's not afraid to stand up for what's right.
Mm. He that might be the case, but in terms
and hang out with nightmare men.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of grey areas there, but it's from an outsider's point of view, because to me it looks like he should just leave. You know, surely he should just leave and go and play football somewhere, because it's very, very clear.
He's famous for making space. Make some space.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think from what the club are saying and from the way that Arsenal are playing these days, that Ozil was going to play much in this last season of his Arsenal career. And you think, well, but surely from his point of view, doesn't he want to go and play somewhere?
Where's his next move? Who's going to be paying those? Nobody's going to be paying that amount of money.
The weird thing is, he wouldn't
get that in places like Turkey or China. Or
there was talk that Arsenal have offered to actually give him just pay him to go. It wouldn't be the full amount of the contract, but you could probably get a signing on fee somewhere else.
You know what I mean?
Naturally, in this last stage of the season, Arteta was asked about this at pretty much any opportunity that a reporter interviewed him, and his response was always that Ozil was left out of the squad purely for footballing reasons.
Yeah.
Now, if your manager is saying that means you can't be in his plans tactically, or maybe from a quality perspective, whatever it might be. If what Arteta is saying is true and it is purely for footballing reasons, as you say, Jim, why would he want to stay?
Yeah. Well, I know that he loves life in London, and that is something that you've got. Exactly, absolutely. And we got to remember that footballers are human beings as well in that sort of situation. And if you're in a situation where you could simply stay where you are and fight for your place, maybe you would want to do that. But I suppose this is it, isn't it? If we can take what Ozil was saying about wanting to give his all for the team and so on at face value, then why? Maybe you would back yourself. Maybe you would think, I love it here. You know what? I'm going to knuckle down, turn up to training most of the time and fight my way back in. But from the outside, it just looks like more of the same. And the past few years have been very, very frustrating between Arsenal and Ozil, because it just hangs over it. And that's not even necessarily his fault. It's just the bizarre situation.
What's best case scenario for you as an Arsenal fan now with Ozil?
I would like him to go, purely because the money that Arsenal are spending on him in that last season is a hell of a lot of money that could just be directed elsewhere with more value to the team, I think. And he's had some magical moments for Arsenal. He's a really important player in terms of Arsenal, you know, ending their trophy drought. But I just think that, you know, it's come to an end.
You've given him a contract for a certain amount of money. If you've got buyer's regret, that's up to you.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Well, it sounds like he's staying, so sorry.
Tough titties.
top three people on the internet for me. In that top three, Eric Cantona has got to be one of them.
Yeah, okay.
His Instagram page is beyond hilarious. And he has just recently started a competition where you can win to go and sit and watch the Champions League final with one of the greatest footballers ever and one of the most entertaining people, I think, at his chateau in France.
Yeah, he's got.
Would you fancy that?
He's sort of filmed a little documentary about him setting up an entire chateau. You forget he's actually all right at acting, because he's been doing it for a long time. You'd it'd be weird if he was terrible at it still. But he's quite good at sort of, you know, doing a bit of slapstick, doing a bit of like
absolutely hilarious. Number one, do you think that's his real house?
No,
I hope so, but I doubt it. My favorite bit of the video, if you guys have not seen it, is you guys at home, that is when he's like stomping on the grapes in his bathtub
in the bath,
to get the wine ready for you. Oh, cheers, Eric.
Yeah, I bet there would be, whoever wins this, there will be a lot of wine drunk.
There's got to be a roaring trade in a really gifted footballer pressing like a few bottles of grapes. Like, you know, if you had Messi's feet, They've done some amazing... I'm surprised Pele hasn't thought of it, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
But Messi's feet stomping on some grapes to make some delicious wine.
I'm not sure.
Would you not drink it?
No, I don't want anyone's foot anywhere near my mouth.
Yeah, got terrible news about how wine is made.
Yeah, but... No.
No?
I don't want to think... Footballers' feet are rank.
Yeah. I mean, not fresh from the. Do they not look after their toenails?
Not the footballers' feet I've seen.
No, they do wear a lot of sliders.
Notoriously, they're hideous,
don't
they?
I remember I interviewed Gareth Bale after a match probably two seasons ago in the Champions League, and he came over in his sliders without any socks on.
Mm.
Those toes.
Is that why they wear white socks?
No toenails.
They're just rank. They're like all like they're a bit bent up.
Bent up. Bell's bent up feet.
Maybe that's how he hits the ball so well.
Yeah.
Aerodynamism.
Seen my dad's arthritis ravaged feet, and he could put it right around the wall into the top right hand corner, I reckon.
Who do you think, what wine do you think would be better? Same grapes, but one's been pressed by your dad,
yeah.
The other by Gareth Bale.
Yeah, my dad's feet are sore. He's got bunions, and they're just kind of spread out. They're big plates.
This is absolutely
big
wrong.
Plates of meat. He could do entire fields at a time, stomping on them. His disgusting feet.
I also love in the Eric Cantona video, when he's going around the house and he's pruning it, making sure it's all perfect, there's those towel animals at the end of the bed that you get in a posh hotel when you're on holiday.
Nice.
I love those.
Yeah. I like
them. It's a talent, that.
Isn't there a little bit of sadness when you need to use a towel, though, and the animal disappears forever?
I know. And then you try... I've always tried to then remake the animal.
It's a snake now.
Absolutely impossible. There's absolutely no way of doing that.
It's a makeup-covered snake. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to... Do they... If you work for a fancy hotel, do they teach you how to do that? Or do you have to come with the ability? Is that part of the
interview?
You've got to make an animal out of a towel.
Yeah.
Well, do you think there's some like hoteliers who are just keeping hotel staff benched because their swan work isn't up to,
yeah.
up to standard like Ozil?
Yeah. You've got a year left of your contract. I can't fire you, but you're out of the team.
I wonder how close it is to making balloon animals to doing towel animals.
Yeah.
There's a similar skill set
Origami.
There.
Origami cranes, yeah. Stuff like that.
It's got to be crossover. Mm. Let us know if you've lived these bizarre experiences.
If you have this skill, then do let us know. Imagine what it would be like, though, watching the Champions League final with Eric Cantona.
I don't think he'd bother watching it. he doesn't strike me as being a football fan.
If his Instagram is so good,
yeah.
How disappointed would it be if he's just on his phone the whole time, just not paying any attention
I'm playing Peggle. I'm playing Tetris. Leave me alone.
I'm sure it's funny because I don't really have an idea of what Eric Cantona the man would be like because Eric Cantona the character is so prevalent in when you see him presented. So
yeah.
I'd be very intrigued and a little bit nervous, I think, to meet him and watch a game with him like that.
That you'd be disappointed, do you think?
I don't know.
I'd get a picture with him straight on Tinder.
Yeah.
There you go. Here's my hairy
That'll
dad.
Do it.
Yeah.
Here's my... who could it be?
That'll get all the birds, Pete. That'll get them all. Oh, love it. All right, well, Champions League knockout football returns tonight. Yes, RB Leipzig taking on Atletico Madrid. Who do you fancy for this one?
I think it's got to be Atletico.
Like the thinking man's, thinking woman's winner, I think, this year. But Leipzig just haven't played any football.
But also, as well, am I alone in thinking that, you know, Timo Werner being allowed to leave them while they were still in competition is kind of out of order.
Yeah. I think that's out of order, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're going to a new club and you're not going to be in any fit state to start the season, which will be happening tomorrow, it feels like. But yeah, it does suck. I mean, he's had a great career.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, a one-man team.
Mm.
But, you know, he was by far their top scorer and it's a huge, huge loss for them. It just feels sorry for them, really, because, you know, Madrid love soaking up the pressure. And if you can't put as much on, they're just going to have the best time.
Yeah.
Also, similarly to what you were saying about PSG earlier, Jim, Leipzig haven't played competitively since the 27th of June.
Wow.
So they've had a long wait for this tie to be played. That could come into it as well.
Will they risk Kylian Mbappe? Bring him on.
also, Diego Simeone, remember after they beat Liverpool earlier on in the competition, which feels like forever ago, it feels like that was last season, but it actually was this season. He said, well, we beat last year's winner, so technically we've won it.
Yeah.
And that, I love it doesn't that. Quite work like that.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
actually, it's worth pointing out that Leipzig are another money club, aren't they? So we should probably go for the little underdogs of Atletico Madrid. If I'm going to be consistent.
Contortions. Modern life.
Slightly different. Slightly different yeah. situation. All right. Well, there we go. That is all from us today. On tomorrow's show, I'm back again. Marcus has been on holiday, so you've got
Holy
all the girls
moly.
hosting this week. So I'm back tomorrow, and I'm going to be here with Andy Brassel and Luke Moore, which means it is going to be my debut on Luke's Game.
Oh. Big news.
And I have to face Andy Brassel, for fuck's sake. I mean,
it's
come
not,
on.
It's not, a great third, it's not a great third round tie,
this is
it?
Ridiculous. I mean, yeah, there's no point. I might as well not turn up.
You're yeah, Hednesford versus Liverpool.
Can we just between us decide that it's all right for me to cheat?
I
just
definitely,
so I yeah, can
absolutely.
Be Andy.
Oh,
definitely.
I think of all
Someone
the people
needs to
you could
Andy
have
poison him.
On the show with. Yeah, 100%.
Poison Andy Brassel.
Give him some dairy.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't do dairy.
I don't know, I don't know how you cheat. Yeah. Is the thing.
I don't know how you
cheat. Wikipedia.
Also, with Luke Moore here, he ain't going to let me cheat, is
no,
he?
No, he's not. No, he won't. It's unless exciting. You can somehow find out what Luke's planning.
Yeah.
How about then... I wear an earpiece and you two from home listen in live and you tell me the answers.
I'd
Will you know
up.
The answers?
I'd cock it up. Yeah. I'd start talking about Paul Dummett.
Yeah. To be fair, all right, if you win tomorrow, people are going to think we've done that. So.
Oh, I know, actually, yeah. There'll be absolutely no cheating.
No cheating.
There will be no cheating. No. It's going to be all fair game, and I will probably lose quite healthily. So make sure you join us for another Football Ramble tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.